Hey guys, what is going on? If you haven't gotten a chance to check out our Kickstarter yet, please do. We need some help. We're trying to get a second show going. We're trying to do a live video show on the internet for all of you people to watch and join into the show. So if you've ever listened to the show and thought, man, I'd really like to be able to talk to these guys. I'd really like to correct them on something. I'd really like to give them some input. This is your chance, and it would really help us out a lot. We got a lot of really cool rewards. We had a lot of our artist friends, people you know from the show, help us out, make some prints for us that we're selling, so you can have some art from the show that was commissioned by us to hang on your wall. We've also got, Olivia's making us some amazing plushies, or crocheted plushies. They're going to be available on the Kickstarter. Check it out. Go to bit.ly/nrtys0. That's name redacted, thinks you suck. So bit.ly/nrtys0, and that'll take you to the Kickstarter page. This week's episode was so much fun to record. We got to sit down with DMC again. This time we got a full-length episode with him. We got to talk some about comics. He was challenging our canon chaps. He is insane. He knows so much about comic books you would never guess. So we got to talk some about that. We got to talk some about his comic book. We got to talk about music a little bit. We got to talk about how his creative flow for his music influences how he approaches working on his comic book. And, man, it is just incredible. I got to introduce him to one of my favorite bands. You're going to get to hear that at the end of the episode. But just enjoy it. I'm going to get back to watching Doctor Who. You guys listen to this episode and let us know what you think in the comments or wherever you find it. Thanks, and enjoy.
I went to Canada. I went to Chicago. I went to, and I've been in L.A. a lot, finishing up the new record.
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of music are you doing in the new one?
It's
harkening to the old stuff, or
yeah, it's Tricky, Mary Mary, Rockbox, King of Rock, and Walk This Way on steroids.
That's a tall bill.
I like that. I always like when the superlative on steroids is involved. It really sells the point.
I mean, you know, Tim Armstrong's producing.
What? My God! How is he?
He's brilliant.
That's amazing. That's good to hear.
Did y'all know he was in an episode of X-Files?
The new series? I did not know that.
He wasn't an episode of X-Files.
No, I didn't know that.
The sculptor that was building the figures that was coming to life, yeah. Telling people.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there, I was looking at him, I was telling my wife, I know that guy. Well, come on, I know that guy.
She's like, oh, he's in that punk band. And you're like, no, that's not it.
No, she didn't know. I know this.
It's like, yeah, Rancid, I'll come to those.
And then I said, that's Tim Armstrong, I ain't think none of it. And then it was like months later, I was telling somebody I'm working with Tim Armstrong. The guy was like, oh, he was in the X-Files. I said to myself, I knew it. So then when I seen him, I was like, because he's humble. I said, you was in that X-Files. He was like, yeah.
I had that moment with a friend of mine from high school. I saw her on an episode of something on TV. And I was like, man, I know that face.
Who is that?
And then I was like, ah, shit, I went to high school with you.
I had that when she was in Friday the 13th.
And then when her boobies on the screen, you're like, I know those boobs.
I know those boobs. I know those boobs. I've seen those in high school.
I didn't know those boobs. I knew the face. And I was like, she's not going to listen to this. Did you see the Friday the 13th reboot in 2009?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Is it good? It's okay. Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
But when you see it,
with the new Fred,
the new Jason.
Oh, you talk. Oh, not the new Nightmare. That's not
Nightmare.
Yeah, they did a new Jason. Hold
on, 2009.
Yeah,
what was the name?
It was just called Friday the 13th.
Who directed it?
Michael Bay, I think.
No, Platinum Dunes produced it. But okay. I can't remember the name of the guy who directed it. Okay. He was like a no. He
has this handy dandy Google thing. I'll figure that out.
So really, I didn't know that.
When you watch it, you'll listen for a line.
So it's the same storyline as Jamie. Oh,
it's a story.
Yeah.
Okay. But she's the girl with perfect nipple placement, and you'll hear that.
But she's not playing Jamie Lee Curtis, bro.
No.
She gets killed.
Yes.
With titties.
Yeah. Yeah.
She gets killed with titties on.
Yeah, that's how it works. Okay. And that's
that's crazy.
Let's see. I believe Jared Padalecki.
That's who's in it.
Okay, I love so. Them.
No. That's not Supernatural.
Yeah.
Oh my god! And the upper, yo, man, I love that show. I just fell into that show where my son was. He used to go to high school, so I was home when I wasn't on the road. I'd be watching TV.
Yeah.
I found the run series.
Yeah.
That comes on at 1 o'clock every afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the day, so yeah, I discovered
yeah.
it there.
Yeah. That's the best and way to find stuff like that.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's how I found True Blood.
Okay.
And that's how I found
Walking Dead. I need to watch True Blood, man.
True Blood was good, but when it got to the last,
three seasons
was
off the fucking rails.
It made me mad that they took it off the air.
Yeah.
It was like. I guess it had to end.
It had to, man. It was getting too... By the end of it, I was like, I hope you
well,
die.
Well, wasn't it one of those things, too, where the books got, like, real weird and off the rails, and then they just had to try
once
to...
They went into the fairy thing a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was cool when the fairy... They had the fairy thing... When they introduced it, I was like, oh shit, fairies are cool, because it was supernatural. But then it got two fairies.
Yeah.
You know, when they went to it was crazy. The vampire bites the fairy, they live forever. Like, it was a whole life. It was crazy.
But then I felt like I had to take fairies. Notes. Like, yeah.
But ridiculous. I guess they had to follow, what was the girl's name?
Anna Paquin?
Yeah, what was her character name?
Sookie,
Sookie was the main character, so they had to play on that. But everybody was excellent. So.
And they dropped a whole lot of like side plots from the books. Like at one point, Jason Stackhouse is supposed to turn into a werecougar. And I was stoked on that. Like for season four, I was like, hell yeah, werecougar.
Sexy old woman who turns into a werewolf. That's crazy. What I think of when I hear werecougar. It's just like an older lady who's like, I'm very sensual, but
no,
also
Jason was
I bite
a cop
you.
Guy, right?
Yeah, he was
her brother.
Yeah.
And he was getting all the women.
Mm-hmm. Like, that time he did
it was a wonderful show, man.
I love the episode where he does V for the first time and gets a priapism.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
And then they have to drain it and they show him the needle and he passes out. You guys can Google priapism. I'm not going to describe it.
So, on that note, welcome to Name Redacted Podcast. As always, I'm Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And I'm Colin Norris.
And for those of you who are not well-informed enough to recognize the voices that's on the recording, this is the...
Oh, it's recording already.
So we've been sitting down chatting for the second time with the wonderful and illustrious DMC from Run DMC.
I'm in the place to be. As they set up.
Yeah. We have a great view here, just like open window looking down. I feel like I'm in like the boxes of the baseball game.
We have a city skyline view of chairs, tables, and drapery the 2017 Oak City NC Comic Con.
Yeah, for reference, we're recording this on Friday, the day before the show opens.
I love coming to the show before it opens and watching everything come together.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
it's wide open. Go down too.
It's wide open right now, and it's twice as big as it was last year, and it's so funny because
this is the third year here. I heard third year.
Third, I think it's the third year.
It's the first year they've done 2 days.
It's the first 2 days.
Yeah. Oh wow! Yeah.
So tomorrow, you're barely going to be able to move in there.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
going to
be slam packed.
I should have brought my Xanax.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like this is the second year that we've been working this show.
Right. So y'all going to be in Charlotte too, right?
We don't work Charlotte,
yeah.
But we go to it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's our summer camp.
Yeah,
that's fun to.
It's basically it's the con we grew up with.
Oh, all right.
So like it was just it's for us. It's just kind of like let's just go have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that way we don't
it's
have to worry
like
about
I used to
being
go to
anywhere.
The Danbury Fair in Danbury, Connecticut, every year with my family, but we turned it into a damn mall.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, damn, the Danbury Fair was amazing. It was food and culture, and the ladies dressed up like they from Denmark, and windmills and rides and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the powers to be ruins everything.
This Saturday should be a mall. It's probably going out of business
now. It's a mall,
now.
Right? That's where they take all the fun out of everything.
And now malls are dying. Yeah, that's crazy.
Malls are really dying.
Like a 30-year culture of malls, and it's dying because of Amazon.
It's crazy.
And it's fine because I hate the mall.
Yeah, it's weird though because those like outdoor malls are like getting more popular.
Well, it's
yeah, like
the
Friendly Center.
Yeah.
And
it's the strip
like
mall
yeah.
type
yeah.
thing. Like, well, because after years and years of the association of what it is to be in a fucking mall,
right?
Then everyone's just kind of like, I don't want to be in this sweaty, disgusting, like, person-filled area.
Right, yeah, for the purpose of shopping.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I'd rather be outside where I can breathe and not touch the sweaty, disgusting
thing. Right, exactly.
That's how I feel about
Instead
cons.
Of being confined.
Yeah.
I'm waiting
yeah.
for the first outdoor con. All outdoor con. That'll be
it.
And then it rains.
You see what happened in George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead?
Oh, yeah.
The mall.
Yeah.
The
mall. Yeah.
Don't go to the mall.
First of all, don't let the biker gang into the mall.
See them coming.
They let the zombies.
Or if you see them coming, you go hide.
Yeah, hide.
You know what I'm saying?
Or get guns.
Get guns. But there's no guns in the mall.
Well, you got to go to a mall with the Bass Pro Shop.
No, you got to go to Walmart.
What's your bug out kit, actually?
Yeah,
what's your zombie Z Day bug out kit?
No. It's funny. I want to go start taking shooting lessons.
Oh, really?
There you go. Going to the range and stuff like that.
Just to be ready.
But then when they ask me why, I'm going to really reply for the zombie apocalypse.
I'm going to get political for a second and say Trump.
Who? You ain't going to no range.
Yo, remember what you call House D?
Oh,
she had a shooting valve in the basement.
Just a country music singer.
The lady.
Not Loretta.
Dolly Parton.
No, not Dolly.
Reba.
No, not Reba.
Taylor Swift.
That's where I was about to go.
That's real funny.
Her and her husband.
She wasn't even born. She's big.
McBride.
Oh, Martina McBride.
She got a shooting range in her basement.
No shit.
What?
That's nuts, man.
That's awesome.
So how do I get a ticket for that?
At her house. Where was she living at? Nashville. Yeah, so at her house. She likes to have all the parties at her house.
Yeah.
So it's K-Rock's birthday party.
Okay.
Of course it was.
if there's one birthday party I know I want to attend, it's most definitely Kid Rock's.
No, but if I'm buying a gun just because of the
What I was going to say was not jokingly. I was getting ready to say, that's the first place I'm going to go if there's a zombie apocalypse is to, you know, to Walmart and get the guns or go to the police station. But then I thought, by the time we get there, the guns are already
gone. It's all gone. And then they're shooting at you.
I'm going to go get all my guns now.
Yeah.
Fun the ammo and stuff like that.
I've actually never shot a gun before. Not
really? You've
life.
Never shot a gun?
I have never shot a gun in my life.
I used to be afraid of guns until I realized that...
You should always be afraid of
guns.
I'm saying I used to be afraid to fire a gun.
Right. Like, scared.
Until I realized that you respect the weapon, but it is merely a tool, and it's an extension of your arm. And
Guns don't kill people. People don't.
Remember, I was telling you, you need to teach Lucy trigger discipline with those Nerf guns.
Oh, yeah. My
she's running around with a finger on the
trigger.
Like,
in The Walking Dead is cool. I love this show where it's everybody's so intimidated by Lucille. Motherfucker, Lucille ain't the problem. The motherfucker holding Lucille's the problem.
The problem is that Carl's a child and doesn't understand what trigger discipline is. Also, he's never in the fucking house.
Yeah, he's never
in the house.
Does anybody know where Carl is? I can tell where he's not.
In the fucking house.
How's the comic book going?
Actually, really good. Yeah. Eric, 80%, 75% done with issue 3?
Nice.
Issue number 3 should be ready, I would say, April.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your creative team?
It's me.
Look, I'm asking for them.
Yeah, it's me.
You dumb shit.
It's a young man named, two young men, it's me and two guys, Eduardo Miranda Rodriguez. He grew up in New York City from the Bronx. He was there since the dawn of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Before Rapper's Delight, he knows all the original graffiti artists.
Nice.
He knows all the original Rocksteady crew and all that.
Yeah.
He lived in the Bronx when the Bronx was burning.
Yeah, he knows all the, he was probably around when that documentary, The Rubble Kings.
Yeah, exactly. So, his whole life was every week moving from tenement to tenement, running, being carried out by his mother in the midst of a fire because all the landlords was burning the
building down.
To get insurance. Yeah. Yeah. In the early 70s. Yeah. Star Wars.
Yeah.
He knew all of those people in the movie Star Wars. And so that was his life. But his relief, just like me living in Queens, was comic books.
Uh-huh.
That was his whole existence.
Yeah.
My other partner on it is Riggs Morales.
Okay.
He was the A&R at Shady Records with Eminem the rise of that great empire. Yeah. And it's us three. We sat in a room, and they asked me, D, what do you see? What do you vision?
Yeah.
I start dropping stuff. They start adding.
How's that go? Because
say we do it. Edgardo, who's like he's a big historian fan.
Yeah.
He knows the name of every artist who did what. That's why I got him on my team.
Yeah.
He said, "Yo, you're just doing what Stan Lee and them actually did."
Yeah.
Sitting in a room.
Just dropping.
You're sitting in a room, right? Yeah. You sit in a room. Because to say how like DMC1 came along like this. Okay. Well, let me start at the beginning. I think I told you this. I went for a music meeting with Riggs.
Yeah.
Right.
And he said, I'm a music professional. And he used these words. He said, yo, DMC, but you was like my superhero. I know you're supposed to be doing this, but you was my superhero. What was it like when you was a kid?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I went to Catholic school my whole life. And all I did was sit and read comics. I thought all I did was read and draw comics. And he looked at me.
You shut up, you liar.
Comics, yeah. We sat there for like 3 hours and we just talked about comics. I talked about all the comics. Like, I had all of I had the Hulk versus the Thing and the Fantastic Four one. I had Thor versus the Hulk. I had Iron Man versus Submariner. I had.
That's my dude, by the way.
Submariner.
Oh, dude, Namor is.
Alex picks
my
man. Ridiculous.
For years, I called it the Submariner.
You and me both.
For years, he was the Submariner.
Phonetics are. Phonetics are
badass.
Yeah.
And even when I was younger, because you know when you feel weird naked?
Yeah.
Because he just wears the thing. Yeah. So I'm a little kid, and to this day, I'm like, does he feel like...
He's just owning it.
He's
just
so
badass. Yeah, man.
He's out in his underwear. Yeah. You know, it's like being in the room when everybody's dressed, and you got your trunks on. You know, as a kid, I always was reading. I knew he's bad. He fought fucking Iron Man, and I just couldn't get over the fact that motherfucker was naked.
Like, man, that guy is like super comfortable in those Euro trunks.
Yeah. That shit was crazy. But I had all of those books, and when he just started asking me all these questions, it all started coming out. He was like, "Wow, damn!" I had Batman in DC and stuff like that. I love the Flash,
mm-hmm.
and it's crazy. Everything is connected and hereditary because my son just loves The Flash.
Nice.
As well as
without even being in the comic books.
Does he like the TV show?
He doesn't watch the TV show.
Okay.
He hasn't watched it.
But he's just basically latched onto the pop culture.
He just latched onto the to Flash and Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Flash and Spider-Man.
Damn it, Chris.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm a Spider-Man.
He's a fan of Spider-Man through the movies and stuff like
that. Right? Absolutely.
So
he
knows what actor did what and this and that. But it was just crazy how he latched onto the Flash, like he loves the Flash. When I was a kid, and I used to love to draw the Flash.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a fun thing to draw
because
of the movement. It's those little lightning bolts and that like super quick stream. He's got the best costume ever.
Yes,
the best.
Is a motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, it's
when
because
it comes to superhero.
It's
yes.
so weird because red became synonymous with speed because of that costume, which is so
crazy.
Cool. Like I've always loved that.
Yeah, so flat and all of that. So Riggs was just mesmerized with it, and he was like, "Yo, you should do a comic book."
Yeah. What was your response to that? Were you like, "Yeah, of course, why wouldn't I?"
I said, "No." He said, "Why not?" Because then I said, "Because I don't want to be another rapper that just because I got a hit record,
I feel like I can
do
everything else." Yeah,
right,
I don't want to be Michael Jordan playing baseball.
I don't want to ruin my lane, and you know what I'm saying, like that. And he was like, "Wow, that's he laughed it off." And then he said, "Yo, don't do it as DMC trying to do another business." He said, "Do it because my first love was comic books."
Yeah, yeah.
And hip hop came later.
Right, yeah, but I really didn't care about hip hop. I only care about hip hop because everybody made such a big deal about it. You know what I'm saying? It was just weird. I was a kid, I loved rock. You know what I'm saying? I was a kid that I love rock. Comic books was my first love. Reading them and drawing them and fucking fiending for the next issue. Saving my allowance to go to the candy store. You know what I'm saying? Every time I would go through the bus terminal with my mother or pass a newsstand. You know what I'm saying? You're 6 or 7 years old. You know you're supposed to stay by your mother. You can fucking get hit and trampled. You gotta run over there.
She the spinner rack.
And then your mother comes over there and grabs your ass and pulls you.
Like, mom, I see the cable.
Yeah, exactly. Life was beautiful. But so Rick said, no, do the comic book from the... That kid, your first love was comic books and stuff like that.
So what book, like, I love this question for people who are old school fans of it. Uh-huh. What book was it that made you the most anxious about, like, I need the next issue?
Captain America.
Okay, there we go.
Cap.
Yeah. It was something about the way Cap was written, his character, Steve Rogers.
Yeah. What era was that? What years?
70s.
Okay.
70. All your 70s.
70s was a good year for Cap. Or was a good generation for Cap. Yeah.
Really? No, it was real badass. Because then they had the other Captain America. They had a mean Captain America and Bucky come back to life. Come out the ice or something. Cap was frozen. It was crazy. It blew my fucking mind.
Right, because that's the first time you know Bucky's still
alive. They created another Captain America.
Yeah.
Who went crazy.
Yep.
And then the real Captain America, and Axel Alonso, who runs Marvel now, he said, God, but Alonso now. He said, D, when you sent me this, this shit was brilliant. Because he said, write out your 5 favorites and your favorite story.
Yeah.
I said, I was totally flabbergasted, overwhelmed, hit me with a left hook. When Cap turned into Nomad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That was different.
It was, but I wasn't mad, but it was weird. Like,
you're just like, whoa,
then he went back. But see, that's how great Cap was written. Captain America was my favorite comic book to read.
And Captain America, there's something about
Steve Rogers. Even him and Steve Rogers.
I
loved the books when he wasn't Captain America. The one who didn't know what the fuck is Steve Rogers. Well, and who is this guy?
There's something about the format of Captain America where it really lends itself to the, like, and what happens next? To tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, no matter
and
what
those
it
cliffhangers,
is.
Man, they just hammer them home.
Exactly.
And you know, like recently when he whispered Hail Hydra, and you're like, okay, I know they're going to turn this around, but like, I got it. I got to read it. I got to know.
Captain America's great. Hope was my favorite superhero. Sorry.
I'm going to leave it. I'm done. I'm done with Eric.
I guess my top order was, my favorite superhero was the Hulk.
Yeah.
He's so badass. But it was deeper than that, too, because of the two personalities.
Yeah.
He's the Jekyll and Hyde of superheroes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And David Banner is struggling, turning into the Hulk. And then I used to like when the Hulk used to curse Banner out.
Part about that is the internal dialogue between Banner and the Hulk has always been interesting. Because I can always see the Hulk in shadow with like burning eyes in the background. Like that
Banner.
Evil voice in your head, like, and he's just like, you're just such a puss.
I was not a fan of when Banner got full control of the Hulk.
I didn't like it.
There's no
conflict.
It's just one of those things where like, we gotta do it because we haven't done it before.
Yes and no, because like what it does though is it loses the dynamic and it loses the allure of the character at that point because there's no struggle anymore.
Yeah. Right!
And the whole point is that he is a good person.
If that happens, then there's shit need to fucking end.
Yeah, like
because now you on Hulk, and now you might as well say, "Let me just go be good."
Like, he just turns into Superman.
Like the whole idea is that the Hulk
and
is
then
a
they
fucking
fire him off into space, and then Planet Hulk happens.
Well,
and
he's
one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, no, Planet Hulk's awesome.
Okay,
Planet Hulk is amazing.
The whole reason that Hulk is a compelling character is because as soon as Banner gets crazy,
Planet Hulk, right?
Yeah. As soon as he gets crazy, he's just a loose cannon. And he's not a superhero. He's just a fucking force of destruction that you're like, oh God, move.
Right.
And that's what's compelling. Yeah.
And watching him trying to be harnessed by the Avengers or not.
Speaking
of Greg Pak, he is your... He's working on the book with you, too.
Yes, yes. He started coming on as an overseer. He's probably going to get more involved, but he's so busy.
Oh, God, yeah.
You don't
Greg.
Say.
Yeah, when I saw Greg Pak,
thank
I was
you,
like,
Greg.
Hmm?
Yeah, he took time out of his real, really, really busy schedule. Because he wants to definitely do hands-on shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's so busy, but it's crazy that while he's doing the shit he's supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be doing what he's doing with us, and he's doing it.
Yeah. Look, man, I got time. I got time.
Yeah, no, I mean, in last year, yeah, it was last year around, I think it was April or May. Last year, we did a, what he did with issue number 2, he came in and wanted to see us do what we do in the room. Mm-hmm. And he let us do that, and then he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And he said, that part there, this part there. We was like, damn, we love you, man.
He starts doing, like, the story treatment thing of, like, index cards.
But he does it visual. He does it in his mind.
Yeah. I can't see. I have to put it out.
He started walking around a fucking room. Yeah. Like, it was crazy seeing.
It's like a beautiful mind situation.
Yeah, he started walking around a room.
Don't worry about me.
Chain smoking.
I love that you're like
in the room watching him do this.
Your walk like makes me think of a gremlin walk. Like he's like, this is the way the story goes.
Like stops so and has a thought. You can tell by how he turns around whether he likes it or not.
Because the phone rings, he says, should I answer?
Just looking. Yeah, every decision is major.
If it doesn't say John Romita Jr. or Axel Alonso, he's not going to pick it up.
So I think the fact that we work with people who work in the universe, is why people
respond.
We respond to it so well, and it's so well done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, you could very easily just slap your name on BS piece of garbage.
Exactly. Like, and not then show like, up and hawk it and
like
right, exactly.
stupid card stock that nobody wants to read that looks like newspaper and just try to sell it out and be a show like that. But
the fact the reason why I was bringing up the Riggs meeting, right? And not wanting to be, I don't want to be in the red with number.
I mean, you've got Amy Chu, David Walker,
Amy Chu,
Greg Pack,
brilliant.
Umberto Ramos doing the cover.
All those guys are fucking super busy and they still want to participate. Then when they get the chance,
but it's got a pedigree behind it. And when those creators and those people in the industry put their name behind something, we as consumers don't take it lightly.
Right, yeah.
You know what
Whoa, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
And it's clearly like they believe in it, not just like
exactly. It's not like, well, that's what I wanted to bring up. Over my hip hop career, when I first put out my first record, when I first put out my first record, this was 1984, the first single, I'm going around America, before we went overseas. Even back then, I had told Rick this, and I said, no, I don't want to do that because Riggs is crazy. Since the first day that I put out my record, everywhere I would go, not at comic book conventions, at my show, someone would run up to me, yo, DMC, I got this hip-hop comic book. All through 84, every time. Then 85, yo, DMC, I got this hip-hop comic book. Then 86, when we went over, we started going overseas in 85, I would say, in 84, 85, we would go to Germany all the time.
Yeah.
We do a lot of army bases and military bases.
Yeah.
But then we would also do shows in Dusseldorf, in Hamburg, you know, the local the local metal. He was playing at metal places with metal.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
Who loved Run DMC.
Yeah.
But that being said, even in 84 and 85, yo, DMC, outside of our military tour, I got this hip-hop comic book, 86, 86 Japan. And the thing, every year, it was crazy. And the thing about it,
so
it
what was
weird.
What's a 1986 hip-hop comic book look like? Like, I know, like, no, like a story.
What I wanted to say was, there was a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
But some of it was really, really great.
Okay.
And as I look back, I was like, damn.
I'm pretty sure there was some needles in the
haystack. Oh, of course. No, brilliant. But I didn't know anything about that process yet. Like, you know, if you ain't fucking Marvel or DC, I don't give a fuck about you.
Right,
you know, it would make me say, oh, this shit is real good.
And
but
you never know.
It was
one of those kids
could have
been Sanford Green.
Yeah, right?
You never know, right? Because,
You know, like, Sanford Green is what he did with Iron Fist and
I was Sanford in, what was we at?
Power Man and Iron Fist.
Houston, I think we hung out.
And he was at Heroes, too.
Well, they were on a panel.
He was.
Exactly. I'm glad I could remind you.
No, thank you. No, you said that. I wanted to find out.
And then there was, I can't remember his name, but he was... Yeah.
Ed, the guy, Hip Hop History.
Yeah, the most...
Oh, Pisco.
The
that guy was great.
Ruggish,
he was awesome.
White dude I've ever seen in my entire life.
And he's so soft-spoken.
I know.
He's real soft-spoken, but if he'd gangster stood up, with it, too.
Yeah.
He's real hip-hop with it,
if
too.
If he'd have stood up with, like, a Cuban link chain, I would have been like, all right.
Well, like, all of those guys, it was like, those how those guys are getting discovered now, or whoever was discovered.
Right,
it's like, so much brilliant. That's one of the things that we wanted to do with our book. We wanted to... In addition to rolling with the top dogs, if we run it in somebody who's brilliant, like why? If, like say if we see the 16-year-old kid who's fucking off the fucking hook, he can work for my book. He ain't got to work till he gets his
hell yeah.
Right? It's about that's giving people opportunities now. And that being said, even I'm 52 now, so what about the guys who should have drew for Marvel and DC that never had a chance?
Yeah,
before they die, they can do it in my book. You know what I'm saying? Those guys that couldn't get their work looked at. Those guys that couldn't
that's
get
awesome.
Deals. We've got,
but it was a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
Which made me tell Rick, hell no, I ain't fucking up nothing.
Well, that's
because
the tough
now
part doing that.
It's the whole thing with, you know, the thing behind the hip hop variants and the thing behind the diversity issue in comic books and in Hollywood and all of that stuff now. It's almost like I didn't want to be the hip hop dude to fuck comic books.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a motherfucker will do that in the middle, like Def
Jam. And then ruin it for everybody who
Def
has
Jam
potential.
Def Jam did the calendar when they turned all this shit into the...
But I think...
superhero art.
I think...
But don't do that. Don't do it if
that's
you're not, down with it.
Yeah, that's not coming from a place of love of comic books. That's coming from... We're doing a thing.
That's done in the comic books. That's a good thing. We can exploit that.
Yeah.
Like when they tried to turn the NFL into a comic book.
Which was also amazing.
And the NASCAR comic books that I used to see. My favorite were like the conservative
comic books.
You know,
it's different when the comic book does it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, and what I mean by that, it's different when it's just, but don't be trying to sell a shit to me. Give me a NASCAR giveaway comic book, because I'm going to love it. For that one day at the thing, but after that...
But I'm not paying $5 for NASCAR comic
book. Exactly.
Praise
Dave. The sincerity and the realness of it is basically missing. Yeah. So what happened with Reds and them, too, for them, prior to meeting me, the reason why he Riggs said, gee, you got to do this, and he brung Ed in, prior to meeting me, I think it was 3 or 4 years before I got with them to do this business.
Okay.
To do this adventure, they had did in New York City. They rented out a gallery downtown in New York City, and their thing was hip hop and comic books, celebration of Black superheroes.
Nice. Okay. So they did like a whole showcase on it.
Yeah. And they invited, since Ed knew all the comic book people, it was his job to get the comic book people. And Riggs knew all the hip hop heads, from Pete Rock to Just Blaze.
Oh my
God!
I remember that was sick.
Got them all in the same room.
Yeah.
And it was the most incredible thing that we did. And the timing for me coming around, because when I came to Riggs, you know, there was a lot of hype about Miles Morales and the Black Superman.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And all of that. And Riggs was like, "We're not doing you're black." And you're DMC, but it was a thing. What we wanted to do was we wanted to make a new superhero.
Yeah.
And when I'm telling Riggs all this shit, he was like, "You should be the fucking superhero."
And I'm sure you were like, "Nah."
I wanted to create Mega Man and all of that shit like that. No, then he came up with, he said, no, what if we did you, DMC? Because everybody always used to say, "Oh, DMC." Well, what really drove Riggs to this, he said, that seals the deals. Chris Rock, a Rolling Stone magazine interview, probably like 20 years ago, this is when we was already after Walk This Way,
mm-hmm.
a couple of years after that, when we wasn't as popular, but right, but when people, we wasn't popular, but we still fucking Run DMC. Tupac, shit, these motherfuckers is everywhere.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone magazine had did a one issue, one little article, Run DMC, what's the big deal? That's the name.
Yeah.
So they went around and asked writers and journalists and our peers and stuff like that. Chris Rock had said, Run and Jay were cool, but DMC was my superhero. The way he looked, the way he sounded, and the way he dressed. Because I wore the leather suit, but I also had the glasses.
Yeah,
I wore gloves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So,
larger than
Riggs was like, that's what that dude could be, the superhero. But then he said, it won't be the fake rapping superhero. DMC. DMC the rappers, I'll beat you and defeat you and breach you. No. Yeah. That's corny.
Yeah, said, yeah, that's a gimmick.
Alternate, right. He says the alternate universe where you shoot down McDaniels, but you never meet Run. You graduate from St. John's University. And he said, what he would probably be doing if you never set up, probably been a teacher. Because all I knew was comic books in school.
Yeah.
So he said, that's it. You'll be a teacher. And in this universe, you'll be the guy running around fighting. And then we created the characters and everything went on from there.
Yeah.
So it was organic. And then everything just falling in place. Because then he was like, so my thing was, all right, we're going to create this. And then we're going to take it to Marvel and DC.
Right.
Ray said, no, you're a hip-hop. You're going to do it yourself. He said, we're going to do
which is the
Marvel
right call. Because this is not the comic book you would have got otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how it came to fruition.
Yeah, because you'd had editors giving you notes up one side and down
and
the other.
And then we sat there and you know, the fact that Lack 6 became the next superhero introduced, and then issue number 3 is another female. It's
strong female characters, man.
Yeah, but we didn't plan it that way to make it like we sit there and
we let the characters make their own choices.
We could have created another dude and this and that, but it was just some reason that for because
in that,
the
you
first
feel
one, Lack 6 is the girl that says DMC is the real Superman. She finally you get to that point where DMC gets like, damn, I gotta let her roll. You know what I'm saying? And plus, as the teacher, she's in my class, and she got balls, she got guts, she's smart.
Yeah.
Listen there, and she can fight.
Yeah.
So everything for us falls together organically. We don't sit there in the next superhero, in the next issue, we're going to. We never say we're going to do anything.
Yeah.
We go in the room, where we at now? What happened at the end of number 2? Well, here's where we go with number 3, and everything just falls together.
So that's what I was going to ask you.
It's make-believe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's make-believe. Like, if I gave you a G.I. Joe, and the G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip, and then you got the one from the 70s, and then you got the real one, we can still sit in the room.
I want the karate action. I get the karate action.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I want the guy with the harpoon.
Yeah. Right, see, that's where we go. So, and then you, what he's going to do, and this and that.
Well, he's clearly going to harpoon you.
Exactly.
Because that's
So when you're working on the comic, do you find yourself doing more of like it's more of a stream of consciousness thing since you're not thinking for
you think
of the arc of the issue itself or like how do you start that ball rolling?
Like
good question. Nah, it's more sequences. It's more like we're going to open the issue up with DMC teaching in school.
Yeah,
and this is how we do it. DMC, we're going to open the issue up. DMC teaching in school.
Right, I got an idea for a cell. It's going to look dope.
And he's teaching in the class, and then one of the students say something witty or whatever. And then we'll show DMC walking home. And then the teacher that has a crush on him will come over to him. And it's like we're...
Just kind of throwing it around the horn and like
I'm
sure there's a whole bunch of ooh.
Exactly.
It's just like us.
You know what? It's really not planned.
Yeah. No, and I was interested in it because it seems like
it's really
hip hop has a lot of that in its culture with freestyling and battles and things like that. So that's why I was asking
really
to see if like what it, how much
yes,
that relates like how your creative process
you
compares.
Don't hear it on the head.
Yeah.
It's definitely created like because it's like you put the beat on, and I hear the beat. And unless you tell me, because unless you say, we need to do an Adidas record.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess it's still freestyling. We don't have no destination. Like, when Rockbox, when we first made... No, let me go back to the beginning. it's exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can't explain it no better than you. Because what happened with our first record, Sucker MCs, for example, Run already had history lyrics for a song called Sucker MCs.
Okay.
I wasn't involved yet.
Yeah.
That's why if you listen to Sucker MCs, Run rhymes, he rhymes again, then he rhymes, and then he introduces that to me, and I got a short rhyme at the end. What had happened was our first record was this record called It's Like That.
Mm-hmm.
It's like writing a book. Run wanted to always make a record. Run was 12 years old, and he was Curtis Blow's disco son.
I know, yeah.
Curtis Blow was his son.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the summertime when Run wasn't in school, when we tour with Kurt, he would go on the road with Kurt Russell, and Curtis Blow would go, I'm going to bring my disco son DJ Run out here and to rhyme for you. Run would come out of the other kick a rhyme and DJ cutest thing in the world and take his ass home. So during that time, Run was bitten by the bugs. He was always asking Rucko, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, let me make a record, let me make a record. Like, no, let me make a record. So he's so persistent. Russell said, here's the deal. You get your diploma, you can make a record.
Yeah.
I remember that. So he got his diploma. Russell had to let him make a record.
So what was Russell doing at that point in time? Was he already starting to produce people?
He was managing Curtis Blow. He was managing Houdini. And this other rapper named Jimmy Spicer, who was called Super Rhymes. I know you heard the record. It's the new thing. Make Shimona swings to play. It was a long-ass record.
Yep.
Shit was about 20 minutes long.
That thing's been sampled.
Yeah. Super Rhymes. So Russell was managing that, and he was a party promoter. But... So at that time, I'm in my house reading comic books and pretending to be an MC. I'm not really an MC. So make a long story short,
that's how it starts too. At the same time, you practice. You're your own first audience.
Because I didn't even want Run to know that what I was doing. That was my thing.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying at the panel back in Charlotte that he kind of happened upon some of your tapes.
He came over my house one day, and I let him in my house to get a drink of water. Because when you're little. Your parents say when there's no adults in the house, you don't have no kids in this house.
Yeah, okay.
You're on the host. Exactly. You don't let all you go in and bring the water to the door.
Yeah.
They hold their cups. Well, this particular day, I let Run in. He saw me and my brother's turntables. He saw me and my brother's comic book collection. And first thing he asked me was like, you do this? And I did, and I said, no. I'm going to give away my secret. I know that.
Secret identity up.
It's Bruce Banner, yeah.
Revealed that Russell was his brother, so me secretly, I was intrigued, but I didn't want to act like I can.
Yeah.
Keep chin up, I'll work.
Oh, that's cute.
So I was like, you know, I dabble a little bit and stuff like that.
Dude, it's a slow burn. You got it, one thing at a time.
Can't bury the leaf.
Exactly. So we would play basketball for a shorter time before my mother and father would come home.
Yeah.
And we go in the basement and DJ for a minute. So one particular day,
God, it sounds so much fun.
He picked up my notebooks where I would write my rhymes.
Yeah.
He was like, Daryl, you wrote all these? And I was like, yes, what I do? What the hell? And he looked at me and said, yo, when Russell lets me make a record, I'm putting you in my group. That was in ninth grade. Him and Jay went to the same high school.
Where did Jay come in? Like,
Jay didn't come until we made the record.
Okay.
So he came in on the record, or he came in after you started writing some stuff?
No, Jay didn't come until the record was made.
Okay.
So, because I'm trying to get y'all to...
Right.
It's like that. It's similar to writing comic books like you said.
Yeah.
You said all this already. I'm just trying to give you a scenario.
It's way more interesting when you say
that. I'm in rapture. Out of the three of us, I'm the hip-hop head, so I'm just like...
Right. So,
please continue.
Joe says that to me, and this is important for all of you out there who have a passion... make believe, pretend, and all of that. That's valuable.
Yeah.
It's part of who you are. If you're attracted to Star Wars, if you're a Trekkie, there's a reason why you're attracted. That thing is real to you. It's
Fake
to other people, but it's real to you. It's alive. Yeah. It's a breathing. So make a long story short, Joe saw that this guy got rhymes, he's smart, and he got an imagination. So Joe knew, I didn't know when I'm gonna put you in my group. You know, he was doing it, but he didn't see. This. He was like, these rhymes are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But it was all because of comic books. So, make a long story short, when I graduated from Rice High School, Run and Jay went to the same high school, but Jay wasn't needed in this scenario yet. Mm-hmm. But they knew each other. They went to high school together. I went to a completely different high school. When I graduated and I got accepted to St. John's University, I wrote a rhyme about it. That's the DMC rhyme. Wrote not for the record. I didn't even know I was going to make a record. So I wrote that rhyme. That was in June. In August, Joe's calls and said, yo, remember 4 years ago when I said, whenever Russell let me make a record? grab your school books. We're going to the studio. Yeah. So he said,
thank God you still have the same number.
We're going to go to the studio next weekend, but we're going to write a record called It's Like That, and that's the way it is. So he knew I was a good student. I was a smartest student to him. So he said, I want you to go write a bunch of rhymes about how the world is. So I went and wrote rhymes about, you know, the wars going on, but also where you can be smart. I didn't want to write a depressing record like The Message. Mm-hmm. The Message was a powerful record, but it was just one-sided. Because even in the ghetto, there's good things going on.
Yeah.
So The Message was broken glass everywhere. So then Bambaataa, Afrika Bambaataa, Zulu Nation came with Planet Rock, which was people who were in The Message. We know a place that was a visionary record.
Yeah.
My thing was, I'm going to put those two worlds together. So we did it like that. Run for the hip. It's like that was the so-called commercial record so we could get noticed, accepted. The message, Planet Rock. Do something that's going to be appealing to radio. Suck MCs was the real hip-hop. Just rhyme.
Yeah.
So run out this record called Suck MCs. And all he did was, he did his three, I wasn't supposed to be on a record. He said, he did his three records. And he was like, yo, D, go in the booth and put a rhyme on it. I was like, what the hell you want me to do? He said, just go in and say your next rhyme. So I went and said, I'm DNC, and the place to be, you go to St. John's University. So the reason why I bring that up, it's like that was a particular record where we said, we're going to make a record with, that's a message record.
Yeah.
But it wasn't one-sided. When I sat down to write it, I didn't want to just write another broken glass everywhere, life in the ghetto, this and that.
Yeah.
I wanted to write, you can go to school and be successful, this and that.
Yeah.
So that same process is with hip-hop. Like, even on Run's record was called Suck MCs. I got on the end and talked about St. John's University and chicken and collard greens, and that became the most interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Run was talking about a particular, specific entity.
Yeah. And you're just kind of vamping around it.
I just went there and rhymed. As opposed to talking about what the Sucker MC does, I said this is what a Suck MC isn't, but I performed it.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like that with the universe. It's like at the end of number two, DMC number two, you'll see how that ends. It's like, how is number three going to open up?
Yeah.
So we sit there and
channel
it to like
Captain America.
Yeah. And we sit there and we try to figure out how, you know. And the cool thing about it, don't have if it ends with the last thing you see is DMC glasses in the dirt and smoke.
Yeah,
when you go to number three, you don't have to open up, continue with that. You can open it. DMC's in Toronto on a plane going to teachers.
Yeah.
What happened with the glasses?
I don't know. But no, that'll come in later.
Yeah.
It's funny that you said that. Not purposely, though. You just bring it to my attention. Yeah. When we do this book, like putting together a hip-hop song. And that's key because one of the things Riggs told me, in addition to you can do this as Daryl, the guy who loved comic books.
Uh-huh.
And he said,
well, because you are unequivocally DMC now. Like, you
can't
escape that.
So you don't have to not write. So he said, you can do everything with a book and even more everything that you already do with your music. So that was one of the things that made me say, oh, really? So by having that appeal to it, you want to be inspirational. You want to be dope. You want to be fun. You want to be good. But at the same time, you want to be, you want to keep it.
Keep it in the pocket. Keep the beat. Keep the rhythm.
It's definitely a rhythm. Thank you for giving me that.
We got to wrap things up.
Good.
I got to give you credit for that. Call
your
lawyer.
Name
we're working out. We'll drop the papers. Tom's over there. He's working on it now.
Give me the word fluid.
So DMC3 is coming.
All right, April.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I just have to ask, we haven't really touched on music. What are you listening to right now?
What am I listening to
right
now?
What's been on repeat for you these last few months and weeks?
Oh, the last few months. Oh, I've been listening to Transplants and Rancid.
You didn't know any of the music before you started working with Tim?
No, I heard one or two songs.
Okay, have you listened to Operation Ivy? That's a ska band.
We can write.
You gotta check that out. Yeah.
Okay. So it turned me on to Social Distortion and all that.
You would love Operation Ivy, dude.
For the last month.
Just transplants.
It's been transplants.
I love the transplants.
As I sit here in my punk ass battle.
Skinhead Rob is that dude. For real.
Oh no, I love him. No, I'm making a record with him.
No shit.
Yes. No, that's funny. It's good to watch this. This is very exciting. After getting fucking overwhelmed by it, the next time I talked to something funny, I was like, I like that guy Rob. Tim's like, yeah, he's real cool. I said, no, I really like him, man. This and that. Yo, he's dope and stuff. I said, I should do something with him.
Tim said, yeah, you want to do something with him? I was like, yeah, we're going to do something. Hell yeah.
He also, Tim did some stuff with Beanie Man, too.
Sounded naughty.
Yeah, like yeah. Tim did a couple of collaborations with Beanie Man.
Yeah, so all I've been listening to is Transplants and
nice.
Fucking
so what this says to me
Rancid's
is that
my girlfriend's band.
We need to do this again, and we need to have a little conversation about punk rock since we talked about
yes,
it.
Yes! Okay, yes.
Yeah, flip we'll the script and do it again.
We'll do this in sure. When I See Your Heroes.
Yes, yeah. I have
records made by now, I'll let you hear them.
I have a very quick yes or no question because I have to prove my college professor wrong on something, okay?
Uh-oh.
He said that legend has it that when you guys did Walk This Way that you didn't know who Aerosmith was prior to going in there to do the track.
Nope, we didn't.
Okay, didn't. So he's right. He's right. Good to know. Awesome.
All we knew was
that's a good lick.
All we knew was the brown album with the toys on it, mm-hmm. number 4.
Nice.
We didn't know and even like it was
that's
crazy.
Fucking awesome.
That's amazing.
Even when
I'm
it was
so
on the turntables of DJs, you would go try to look and read it, but they would cross the
out.
Name out
yeah.
so the other DJs wouldn't know what beat it was.
That's
me
awesome.
And Run had never, all I knew, I heard the beat before.
Yeah.
But me and Run had never heard the record.
Right.
So we didn't know the band was Aerosmith. We just knew.
Yeah,
and then Poison Attic, number 4.
The one that goes,
the one that goes,
you
we would never ask for the title. We want this one that goes, so we know which one to put it on, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you resurrect Aerosmith.
Even when Rick Rubin gave us the 411, when we was originally we was going to loop it and just rhyme on it, we was going to loop it. It was just going to be me and Run talking about how good we are.
Yeah.
When Rick came into this particular session, he was like, "Do you know who this is?" No. Well, he gave us the 411. Even when we find me and Run didn't want to do the record over the way you heard it.
Okay.
We hit out for a week. Because it was like, you need to learn the lyrics the way Steven... Who the fuck is Steven? We didn't know. You got to let the record play, guys.
Yeah. Fuck Steve.
So, I can just see
but the funny
Rick,
thing
like,
is, when we walked into the studio, Jay calls us after a week and goes, "Yo, Rick done went to Boston and brought Steven Tyler to So Jay was, "You got to get here right now." When we walked into the studio, me and Joe, we didn't know no better. We knew rock bands. We heard of the Beatles. We know the John Lennon. And every Elton John and all that. And there, but when it came to that rock, we just knew the first thing in your mind is Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger was having all the same, it was the Stones that was talked about. You know what I'm saying?
Super influential.
Because they were the bad boys of rock.
Yeah.
So when me and Ron walked in the studio and seen Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, we was like
skinny, long haired Boston kids.
Yeah, but this is the first thing, it's real loud. "Oh shit, the Rolling Stones."
Oh my god.
They took it lightly. They was like, Steven. So Joe Perry's standing and he don't talk anyway. He just plays. He doesn't say much. So we looking at Joe Perry like he's mad as a fuck. He about to leave or something. But Steve says, "No. Those are the other guys. We're Aerosmith."
That's
great. And then we went into history.
Gee, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Love
seeing you.
So much, man.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, can't wait to do it again. I will have to make sure you hear some Operation Ivy.
I'm going to listen to it tonight. Operation Ivy.
Yeah.
Ivy.
Okay.
Just like Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
Yo, the lyrics and flow and storytelling is so fucking visual.
Yeah,
definitely check it out. But
Name
Redacted.
Name
Redacted Podcast.
Oh, they're coming in here.
For Name Redacted Podcast, I'm Colin Norris.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And I'm Alexander Fulmer. And
I'm Darryl in the place to be with them.
You guys go out and just do whatever the fuck you want today.
I don't even care.
Touch the butts.
Yeah.